Good morning. This morning's New Testament reading will be from Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Let us prepare to listen to the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jennifer. As we continue our series today, we are looking at the importance of prayer and reading scripture. We've been talking for several weeks about what it looks like to be a disciple and to make disciples. How can we raise our young people up in the faith so that when they are old, they will not depart from it? How can we be better disciples ourselves, and how can we model it for young people, whether you have children or grandchildren or just kids in this church or neighbors or friends that need to draw closer to the Lord? God equips us with his power to do this. So today, to talk about prayer, there's one of the best examples in all of Scripture is the prophet Daniel. You know Daniel's story, probably. He was taken by the Babylonians as a captive, and he went through many, many experiences. We're going to look at Daniel 6 today as Daniel is threatened with the lion's den. Probably many of you haven't heard this story since you were in Sunday school, like as a young one, but it's a rich story with God's promises. So this is Daniel 6, starting with verse 3. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human besides you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree that you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in his God. Let me pray for us. Holy God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us now, that you would enlighten our minds and our hearts and our souls to the truth of your word. May we not only be hearers, but doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, we are today in the fourth part of a seven-part series. The first day, we had Dan Dupuy. This was about 3 weeks ago. Dan Dupuy, the former president of CCO, was able to come. He's written a book about how to make disciples among our children and among each other. So he introduced the idea that kids need parents who are highly committed to the faith. They need to see that faith being lived out by their parents. So the first one is religious parents, parents who believe. The second one was Tim Habecker from Ligonier came to talk to us about the importance of modeling faith and how Isaiah modeled his faith in sometimes crazy ways before Isaac. The third one we talked about last week was the importance of people having experiences of God and seeing God not only in words, in head knowledge, but in life, and seeing how God impacts us and trusting that the God who takes care of us in the past will be the same God who takes care of us in the future. Well, today we want to look at the fact that to have an enduring faith, you need to pray and you need to read scripture regularly. Often we need to saturate in that. I heard one author I was reading this week said, we like to microwave. We want things instantly. We like to microwave. God likes to marinate. Isn't that great? When you marinate something, it's not just you put a sauce on top. It's that the marinade gets into the very fibers of the steak that you're marinating. God wants to get into the very fibers of us. And we do that by spending time with God. As we look today at the example of Daniel, we see that prayer was part of his breath. Prayer was part of what he did and had always done. He came before the Lord regularly. He gave thanks. He asked for help. And God did the rest. He prayed regularly. He gave thanks. He asked for help. And then God showed up in a really powerful way. When we think about Daniel in the lion's den, I don't know about you, but I always picture him as like a 20-something. And it was really interesting to do the math as I was working on this sermon. If you saw my e-letter, you saw that I was really into math this week for some unknown reason. But Daniel was in Babylon for 66 years when this happened. 66 years. He was taken as a teenager out of Judah. They took basically all the college students, all the promising young men that were studying, that seemed intelligent and capable of leading the country. The Babylonians wanted to have basically a collection of the wisest of all the different countries. And they wanted to take them young so that the Babylonians could indoctrinate them in their way of life. So Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were all taken out of Judah at that time in 605 BC. And they were brought into Babylon for this training and indoctrination. Right away in chapter 1, you see that they are brought food from the king's table, which is a great honor. But they knew that that food essentially was not kosher. It was not sacred to the Lord. And so God gave them favor as they went on a vegetable fast. They only had vegetables, and yet they grew stronger than any of the other young men. God showed up there. Then the next scene we see in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. He has a dream that is really disturbing to him, and he tells all of his wise men to tell, and magicians, to tell him what the dream is, and then tell them what it means. Now, the wise men were like, hey, you've got to tell us the dream first so that we can tell you what it means. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm not going to believe you're right until you can tell me what the dream is to start with. And so they give an edict to kill all the wise men in the country, that they keep trying to kill Daniel over and over and over. But Daniel hears about this decree and says, give me one night. And he goes home to his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and says, pray with me, pray for the mercy of God. And God reveals to Daniel in the middle of the night a dream himself, and he sees how all of this dream, it plays out, and he has an interpretation. He presents that to Nebuchadnezzar, and his life is saved as Nebuchadnezzar understands what's going on. Then we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, and God shows up again. That incredible moment where the three of them are in the furnace, but the people observing from the outside say, wait a minute, there's four in there. Wouldn't that have been incredible? God rescues them and brings them out, and they don't even smell of smoke. And now, it is 66 years later, the end of the chapter 5, it talks about the fall of Babylon and the Persians coming in. So Daniel is in his 80s when he is thrown into the lion's den. Think about that. He's in his 80s. He is still seen as one of the wisest people in the country. He is seen as someone who is absolutely incorruptible. And the other people that he's working with get really mad about this. They are so frustrated. This guy, this interloper from a different region, is the one that the king trusts more than anyone. And so the king is happy to make him in charge of the whole country, but the other people, the other bureaucrats, are really annoyed. So they say, we're going to trap this guy. So they look through all of his personnel files. They looked to see if there's anything they can catch him doing, whether in negligence or corruption. And he is squeaky clean, and they get even more frustrated. So they go before the king, and they figure out the one thing they can trip him up on is making him turn away from the law of God. They know that he has so much dedication to his God. They have seen this over decades after decades. He has so much dedication that if they can get him to continue that, they've got him. So the king, they hide the fact that that's their motive. They tell the king to issue an edict. The laws of the Medes and Persians can never be changed. The edict is written that anyone who worships any god or any human being other than the king will be thrown into the lion's den. And what does Daniel do? Did you catch that? What does Daniel do when he hears that news? He goes home and he prays like he always does. He goes home and he prays like he always does. That just blows me away that he doesn't like panic and run home and beg. He just goes and does what he's always done 3 times a day for 66 years. I did the math on that one. That's 72,270 times of coming before the Lord 3 times a day. And you know that he prayed many, many more than that. But those were the times that he was disciplined about prayer. He came before the Lord and he marinated in the power of God, in the relationship with God. One of my seminary professors used to talk about the word righteous, that one translation of it actually means right-wise. Like we're turned the wrong way and we get turned around so that we're in right relationship with God. So when we pray, we are right-wise. We are brought into perfect relationship with God. We're facing the right way. Rather than facing the enemy, rather than facing the world, we're turned the right way toward God. I love that in this story, Daniel turns his face toward Jerusalem. He's been gone from Jerusalem for 66 years, but he knows the direction his help is going to come from. The direction of the help is not going to be from the power centers of Babylon and Persia. The direction of his help is going to come from the one true God, the mighty one of Israel. And he turns his face again toward Jerusalem. And he prays. What does he pray for? He prays, it says that he gives thanks. How often when you're in a panic, when you think that this is not possible, do you thank God? That is hard to do that first. It's something that you have to remind yourself over and over again to do. It's one of those disciplines that, hey, you know, I remember about 20, you know, minutes after I start whining at God, I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. Oh yeah. But God wants us to start with thanksgiving. He wants us to start with all the ways that he has been faithful. If we can give him thanks in the midst of hard situations, we remember who God is by reciting his power and his love and his grace, by reciting the mercies that he has shown us. That, again, is another way to rightwise us, to turn us toward him, to see him as a good and gracious God. Last week, we talked about Peter panicking when he saw the wind and the waves. He steps out of the boat. He's like, well, this is cool. Does he say thank you? No, he goes, ah! What he should have done is go, wow, God, that is amazing. There's a book that I haven't read, but I love the title. It's Wow, Thanks, Help. If you ever need an outline for prayer, that's it. Wow, thanks, help. Think about that. Wow, spend time going, God, you are incredible. Wow, his train fills the temple. Think about the amazing wonders that God has done, the moon and stars. That God is mindful of us. Say thanks. God, thank you for family, for friends, for daily bread. Thank you for all the ways that you have taken care of us. And then help. That's what Daniel says. It says in verse 11, these men went to as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. It's okay to ask God for help. There are times when we don't know how to fix this situation, and we have to ask God for help. And he is there, and he is able. I tell you every week, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. We have to come before him and say, God, help. But Daniel was in this practice of prayer, in this daily, three times a day prayer. He had marinated so long in this. He knew that God was able. He knew that God could do incredible things. One of my friends used to say, we don't have to believe what God will do. God will do the following 15 things that I tell him to do. All you have to believe is that God is able to do. He is able to take care of us. He's able to do things that seem absolutely impossible and crazy. God is able. If we put our faith in God's ability, not necessarily his methodology, but his ability. That's all we need to do. That's the mustard seed that can move a mountain. God is able. And you know the rest of the story. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. He's not panicking. He's trusting that God will provide. He is trusting that God will be with him. And if you remember in the earlier story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fiery furnace, they say to the king as they are being tossed in, they say, we know that our God is able to protect us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship you. We are only going to worship the one God. That is incredible faith. Even if he doesn't save us, we will still worship you. We worship the one Lord God, not the king. No matter, even if their life has to be at stake, they will keep their eyes on the Lord. And that's what Daniel does here. He keeps his eyes on the Lord. He's thrown into the lion's den. And it says, God sends an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. Can you imagine the king? The king knows that Daniel's a man of integrity. He's a man who of great faith. He lives out his faith. But the king doesn't know the Lord God. He doesn't understand what God is able to do. And so he spends this night in agony. And he wakes up the next morning. He doesn't even wake up. He's been awake all night long. He comes to the den and he cries out, "Daniel, did the God that you worship save you?" And Daniel is able to come out completely unscathed because God was with him. God was with him in the midst of the lion's den. Sometimes God keeps you out of the lion's den. Sometimes he goes with you into it. But God went with him into it. And lest you fear that these were like docile lions just lying about, the story, I won't read the grim details, but all the enemies, all the people that tried to have Daniel killed, they tossed them into the den of the lions after Daniel comes out, and it says they didn't even hit the floor. Yeah, the lions were hungry. They just didn't eat Daniel. They didn't even hit the floor. It was an incredible image, but God was with him. Daniel had a life of prayer. He prayed constantly. He gave thanks to the Lord in the face of incredible, awful things. And he asked God for help, and God showed up. God came in a powerful way. So what does this mean for us? How are we supposed to live our lives? We need to develop a habit of prayer. A habit maybe is not even the best word because it sounds kind of boring and rote, but the discipline, the desire to spend time with God, to allow him to marinate us, to allow him to form our character, to turn us the right way so we can keep our eyes on him. One of my friends, a pastor in Colorado, says that they ask their congregation to do four things: to spend time with God every day, to worship once a week, to find one place to learn, and one place to serve. I really like that. It's very simple to spend time with God once a day, to worship once a week, to find some place to learn, and find some place to serve. If we spend time with God every day, not just think, oh, I pray all the time, but really dedicating time to pray with the Lord, it can change our lives. It can change our vision, our understanding of who God is. It can change our personal relationships in our life. I was talking to Ashley last night, wanting to hear more about the ways that prayer has impacted the children's ministry and how she has taught the students. She said for a while, there was this beautiful image. She would invite the kids to read a Bible story. She'd set aside 10 minutes of every lesson and invite the kids to read a Bible study and then just go and pray. And these are not fourth and fifth graders. These were first and second and third graders. Come read a Bible story. If they couldn't read, she'd sit down and read one with them. Some of them used the Jesus Storybook Bible. A few of them were able to read at a higher level. They read a story from Scripture, and they went and prayed. And they began to love that. She tried to change the schedule one time, and they were like, wait a minute, what are you doing? We want to be able to spend time with God. She was able to introduce these children to prayer at an early age. So spending time alone with God wasn't scary. I think sometimes we put off spending time with God because we're afraid of what he's going to say. or it's we've got too much going on in our brains and the noise is too loud. We can't even listen to God. But Ashley began teaching these kids how to do it, how to be a self-feeder, how to draw from the Lord even at that really young age. You can teach a first grader, wow, thanks, help. Kids get that. And she said as they did that and developed the practice, then they would come back together after 10 minutes. And she said, you know, what did you hear? What happened in your prayer time? And God was talking to these kids, first graders, second graders. They were having an encounter with the living God. If first graders and second graders can do that, so can you, so can I. God is able to do this. He's able to meet us here. And it doesn't need to be complicated. Often we think prayer has to be this really complicated formula. I like the Acts analogy, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, but that's a lot of big words to remember. Wow was a lot easier. Wow, thanks, help. But God just longs to spend time with us. He just has this pure desire to come before us. We're going to be spending some time in a few weeks with Pastor Job from Kenya. I love spending time with that man because he lives a life of prayer. When he planted his most recent church, he said that he spent 3 years praying 5 hours a day before he planted that church. Can you imagine spending 5 hours a day for a week? I don't know if I could do it for a month or, you know, certainly not for a year. And he did it for 3 years. They prayed and prayed and prayed. He dedicated himself to pray. And after all of that, God blessed him and touched this church. And he's now got churches all over. He's a church planter. He's planting churches. And God is working powerfully in him and through him in East Kano. And he's working powerfully here, too. The flowers today are in honor of Joanne Cassano. If you remember her story, she's the one I mentioned last week, that Pastor Job prayed for her, and her brain cancer was gone. It was the craziest thing. I saw the MRIs. There were white spots all over this one and nothing on that one. She had been far away from God almost all of her life. And God had begun to work in her heart. And Pastor Job said the day that he was here, he said, God can use communion for healing. And it's incredibly appropriate that we're having communion today. He said, God can use communion for healing. And so during communion, as we were all partaking, Job went back and prayed for her. And God healed her. A few days later, they did another MRI, and that's when they saw. The doctors were just shocked. The amazing thing was that over the next 4 months, God ministered to her heart. She went from somebody who was running away from God to somebody who loved to spend time with God. The last time I got to see her, she was at such peace. It was incredible. She was just at rest. It was this beautiful thing, this woman who had been agitated and afraid and angry and lots of different things, yet she longed for God and she met God. And God, that healing, gave her a 4-month window so that she could get to know who God was. It was an amazing time. It was very hard when the cancer did come back eventually, and she died a year ago this week. But God ministered in her heart in a powerful way. The prayer was what gave her the life and the window of opportunity to meet God. I wish you could have seen her. She was an inveterate cook. She loved to cook for people. Her heart of hospitality was part of who she was all of her life. And so she was lying in her hospital bed telling her daughter how to cook me a pizza. I love that heart came out, and that heart was what met God. She learned how to pray. She learned how to be with God because God had worked a powerful answer to that prayer. Think about Jesus Christ. He is the one who taught us to pray. Even the Lord's Prayer is, wow, thanks, help. Even on his last night, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. But before he broke it, he said, he blessed it. He gave thanks for it. The prayer that he probably prayed is a very common Jewish prayer. Baruch atah Adonai, blessed are you, Lord God, who provide bread for the earth. God's prayer, his anointing, was on Jesus Christ as he worshiped the Lord and gave thanks. And then later that night, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and said, help, take this cup from me. And yet not my will, but yours be done. That's the power of prayer. We come before the Lord and say, God, wow, thanks, help. But not my will, but yours be done. As we are right-wise before the Lord, our world, our hearts are reoriented in the correct direction so that God can let his will be done in our lives. Sometimes that's a spectacular miracle. Sometimes it is just the still, quiet marinating of making us more like Christ. But as we come before the table today, we receive the grace that he has given to us we receive the prayers and the blessings that Jesus prayed over us. And through that, we will see God's face like we've never done before. Let me pray for us. Holy God, we thank you and we praise you for your blessing and your grace. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for prayerlessness, for how many times we have failed to pray, even the simple prayer of a first grader. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. Help us to pray every day, as Daniel did. And Lord, reveal your face to us so that we may boldly approach the throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, please rise now as we confess our faith in Christ.